We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
My batting practice at Citi Field from about 3 years ago. Get to analyze my swing. Get to break it down. Get to see my sweet left-handed swing. It's not quite
good. How many rips did you have?
How many rips?
Yeah.
I had a few line drives. It wasn't bad.
How many times did you swing the bat?
I'd say about 10.
10?
Yeah.
All right. We'll break it down for you.
Yeah, you can break it down.
Who is throwing the BP?
God, I don't remember.
Like an actual Met pitching coach or something?
I think it may have been like a season ticket representative.
Oh.
But the best part of the video is certainly not me. My dad was there and did play-by-play of my batting practice.
Oh, I'm sure that was amazing.
Yeah.
Probably wonderful.
I'm sure you loved it. You will love it.
Here's Roy Hobbs now stepping up to the plate.
You'll get more views than your woodshop video.
Listen, why do you have to take a shot at me enjoying the nature and chopping wood?
You started.
Huh?
You started.
Well, I didn't start anything.
You were very negative about the batting practice video.
When your dad's doing the play-by-play, what's he going to say? My son sucks?
No, he was over.
There's a swing and a miss.
Well, but baby.
What a beautiful left-handed stance. Stepping into the batter's box now.
Do you think I swung and missed?
I think you probably fouled a bunch off, took a bunch of pitches because you were scared, and yeah, I'm sure you missed a couple.
Do you want me to tell you, or are you going
to
watch it?
No, I can't wait to watch it. Tell me when the video gets released. Is it going to be on HBO Max?
You're just jealous over there.
I'm jealous that you took batting practice?
No, I think you're jealous that you don't have a batting practice video to show, and that maybe my swing will be better than your swing.
Okay, there's a video of me lining a single to right center of Mariano Rivera. Get back to me on that.
Why isn't that on TikTok? That's on you. Why isn't that up there?
Because you and I, ego is different.
What does that mean?
I have none.
Oh, you do. Right. Yes.
There you go. What is that? What is that face over there?
Huh? What's that face over there? I turned my mic on. I couldn't hold back the laughter.
Here's Claudio in Jersey City. Claudio, what do you got?
What's going on, guys? You know, this is a kind of a combination of some of the things that you've been talking about, like getting stuck in traffic rubbernecking,
sure,
get to the game on time and whatnot. So it was about 2015. I wanted to get to the Yankees home opener. My wife was pregnant, so Evan, you know, I like to get to the games very early and kind of see everything. And I wanted to take pictures.
Yep.
It was opening day, kind of the new stadium. And I'm on my way there. I've got great seats, and I'm like, okay, we're on pace to get there about an hour and a half before the first pitch.
Nice.
And got stuck on the Kosciuszko Bridge, and the reason being, I forgot the tickets at home because I was so excited. I wanted to get to the game.
That's the worst.
Just make it over the bridge, and I see this woman standing there. I'm like, what is she doing? So I make a U-turn. I come around. I go back to Brooklyn. I get my tickets. 15 minutes later, I'm stuck in an hour and a half worth of traffic. I'm like, what is going on? Helicopters, fire.
She was going to jump, huh?
Yeah. So throughout the entire game, I'm sitting there resetting my phone, like looking like woman jumps off bridge, you know. And then finally, it showed up on the New York Post, like, you know, by the fifth inning. Apparently, I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
She got divorced and decided to take her life. And,
she got divorced, you know, and wanted to jump off the bridge. Wow.
And
your take on that is, I'm late for the game.
Yes, basically.
That's why I said sometimes when you sit in traffic, and I asked all the guys on the show to be honest, do you kind of sometimes wish something really bad did happen so at least you can say, all right, listen, I had to sit in traffic for 2 hours, I was late for the game, but hey, they saved someone's life.
Yeah.
Someone died. Yeah. You know, like there's a, you know, a legitimate enough reason for you being
for
late.
Why you showed up in the fourth inning.
Of course. Had you not forgotten the tickets in the first place,
well,
you know, that woman still might have attempted, you know, this terrible thing, but you would have been in the game and not paid any attention to it.
You wouldn't have known the difference.
Right. And that's I'm not surprised the Post didn't get to it until the fifth inning. They're late on everything.
That's why one of the perks of the world we live in now is that everything is digital. And so you never have to worry about leaving a ticket at home because we've all done it. Like, I've left tickets at home. I'm sure you have. And now 95% of the sporting events or concerts that you have are all on your phone. So unless you lose your phone, you're good.
There you go. CeeLo's here. He's got an update for us. Lots cooking. Did you find the Sage Rosenfeld audio about Cal McNair?
Yes, I did.
So this is what this is. The setup for this is he's on a podcast and he's talking about how it was David Carr.
Yes, 2006
was telling him a story about how he had just came out of Cal McNair's office and how strange the experience was. And I'm saying this because this will give you a better understanding, I think, of what Deshaun Watson's dealing with. Go ahead.
And I hadn't really met Cal at this point. I'm like, what's Cal like? He's like, well, I walk into his office and he's sitting on the floor. There's no desk or anything. And there's this huge TV on the wall and he's playing video games.
I love it.
Sage Rosenfels can barely put a word together.
Sage Rosenfels looks like he's 65 years old, by the way.
Which is odd. Yeah. He played for the Giants that one season not that long ago.
Premature graying. But so the essentially the owner's son, kind of like Arthur, is in his own office playing video games, sitting on the floor, having meetings with the franchise quarterback.
Oh,
come on
God.
In and sit down.
Oh,
where?
My God.
Y'all just lay down on the floor for
no
a second.
No furniture. Wow. There were a couple of other parts to this that I can get to here.
Now, that's the guy. He's now essentially the owner of the Houston Texans.
Okay, yeah. How about this? So I wanted to see how old he is. You know, you go to someone's
Which guy?
Cal.
Okay.
McNair, right?
Yeah.
He's the owner of the Houston Texans now and has been for a couple of years since his father passed.
How old is he?
He does not have a Wikipedia page. How is that possible?
Cal McNair?
Yes.
Because I tell you why.
His mother and father do. He does not.
Because
his
father bought football to Houston.
I understand.
Kind of like Jeff Wilcox.
I'm not saying his father shouldn't have one,
right,
but he now owns the Texans.
Because he's never accomplished anything.
Good Lord.
Right? I suppose, you know, he's like born on third base and just one of those DNA lottery kids.
Scary.
And he's never actually done anything. You know, maybe he graduated college and did all that. But he right from there worked for the old man.
But you know what's
crazy?
Have
an office with a TV and Xbox and no chairs or furniture. He's like Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
It's
you
crazy.
Get that feel.
We assume that anyone who is an owner of a sports team, who is the son of an owner of a sports team, has to be incompetent and terrible. And there are examples of it. Cal McNair seems like one. We've certainly talked about Jeff Wilpon. But John Mara is not that. You know what
no.
I mean? You know, It's not universal that it's going to be like this. I think as Met fans, we experienced it, and certainly Texan fans are. But think about it. There are sons or daughters, but mostly sons of owners, that were born on third base, like you said, Craig, that aren't that. I mean, John Mara jumps out at me. I'm sure there are others, but like,
sure.
Does anybody think John Mara's the... You may not like the Giants the last few years, but nobody thinks he's an incompetent buffoon at all.
No. And I hate to judge a book by its cover. Look at... First of all, look how short the bio on him is on the Texans website. It's like three sentences, right?
What are they
Craig,
write
look
about
at
him?
Look at this.
It says, Cal McNair is the chairman and CEO.
Mustache.
He has a porno mustache going on. Let's see. Here's what he's done, I guess.
That gives no detail about his
nothing.
Responsibilities. They're just titles.
He became the CEO in January of 19 after being the COO from 2012 through 18.
Great.
Limited part of this and that. The other thing, he worked for RCM Financial Services. He was the vice chair of RCM and a director of Palmetto Trust, which I guess his dad's
but
trust.
I was going to say, if his dad hasn't had
in
that.
You know what else they say? They go on to say McNair has been actively involved with football operations and gave examples, including some key hires like Bill O'Brien.
That's on the Texans website?
Yes.
You and I are looking at different bios.
Honestly,
I
went to the playoffs.
Right. Fair enough.
I understand, but no Texan fan looks at the hiring of Bill O'Brien as this great accomplishment that you should put on the board.
You know, a lot of times when you're an extraordinarily wealthy dude and you have multiple kids, one kid kind of becomes like the heir apparent business-wise, one kid sometimes becomes like Billy Madison.
Right.
You know, there's typically a divide amongst your offspring as to who's the type A successful business person and who's kind of the playboy, just enjoys the perks.
Didn't Fred Wilpon have a bunch of sons? Like, it wasn't just Jeff.
There are other Wilpons.
You know what I'm saying? And I think one of, because what I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that recently one of the Wilpon brothers, maybe not publicly, but it was leaked out, was just ripping Jeff's ownership of the Mets. Like, I remember that coming out recently. And, you know, Met fans kind of nodding along, like, yeah, I get it. But it makes you wonder, did they not have any interest in the team? Was it only one
I
of
think
the
he
kids?
Only had a, I think he had three kids. He had a daughter named Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Who married Philip Walkler, who's the son of a chief judge of the New York Court of Appeals. He had Jeff, of course. Who is the other
maybe
son?
Maybe I'm thinking of a cousin, in fairness. It may not have necessarily been a brother.
No, he had three kids.
Okay. So maybe
Fred Wilpon definitely had three kids.
Okay.
But
Jeff was the one who ran the franchise.
Jeff was the guy.
Yeah.
Jeff was the guy.
McNair story makes you just wonder. It's kind of what you said earlier. He's going to have to be the one to say, go ahead and try
Oh, I got
Watson.
It. His other son is Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce Wilpon.
And he ripped Jeff. Didn't he rip him?
Did Bruce Wilpon
That's
rip
what
him?
I thought the story was a few months
I
ago.
I know. Well, maybe they don't even think they get along, huh?
No.
It's an interesting family. I became friendly with one of the Wilpons. He lives down in Palm Beach. Nothing at all to do with the Mets or even Sterling Equities.
Right.
One of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah. I don't know. I drank with him one day.
Did he ask
Middle
you,
of the day, too. Was
did
fun.
He ask you how to run his business like his
no,
brother
No, he did not. Like, he recognized, like, all right, listen, let's get the Jeff Wilpon crap out of the way. He's a loser. We know he's a loser.
right,
Nobody
right.
likes him. Let's start drinking. He was a really nice man, though.
It worries me, though, with Cal McNair that he's never going to come to his senses. He could be like a child with a toy who says, I'm never trading him. I don't care. He doesn't show up. You could have the GM begging him, saying, we got to trade him. He's not going to show up. I mean, that's the one thing that does scare you in the wild card in this whole thing is you have an owner who could say, I don't care. I'm not trading him.
How about the fear of not having the knowledge?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How about the fear of not having the knowledge of what to do?
Well, that's the problem. And
for
also,
him.
Right, not having the knowledge and just having this emotional, I'm not trading him. I know it doesn't make sense. That's my plan. Like, that's the scary part about it. If I'm a Texan fan or really anybody.
He sounds less like that guy when you listen to him speak in these open forums.
Right.
And more like a guy that I'm sure leans heavily on those around him to guide him.
Well, we'll see. You know what? We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
I became friendly with Lyle Wilpon.
Lyle.
Who was the head of U.S. mergers and acquisitions for a company called BMO. I don't know what that is. But we were supposed to play golf at Piping Rock back in 2014. That's the beauty of AOL, still having AOL. Every email. Still have every email.
They really do have everything.
There you go. Do you want to play golf tomorrow? 120 at Piping Rock. I'm sure that's a bougie course out of Long Island, right? I was going to send the invite to Boomer, but he's no fun to be around. I agree. Oh, you know, listen to this. And I'll show you this in case you think I'm BSing you.
What?
Want to invite you to Piping Rock. I will extend the invite to Boomer. And also going to ask Jim Courier to be our fourth.
So did you go or no?
I did play golf with Jim Courier once, maybe even twice, up in, in Westchester, where they had the Open a few times. Well, why am I blocking on the name of it? Right there in
Wingfoot?
Wingfoot, yeah.
There you go.
At Wingfoot. Because Jim became a member at Wingfoot, I think. And he and I became like almost friends. We never got to the friendship
you are on,
stage,
you're
but
on
I was
a,
right there.
You're on a name drop rampage right now.
No, I just wanted
Jim
to point
Courier,
out.
Jim Courier, Lyle Wilpon, Winged Foot,
I was gonna play
Boomer Esiason.
Boomer is no fun to be around.
Tell me I'm lying. Tell me the date of that email.
May 16th, 2014.
And what's it say in the email? Who's the invite to play golf?
My
Go ahead.
Over
Look
here.
At you, four eyes.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Hi, Craig. Making sure you receive my invite. Golf tomorrow, 1:20 p.m. at Piping Rock. I will extend the invite to Boomer 2. I was planning to have Jim Courier be our fourth. There
Bang.
You go.
Look at you.
And he apologized for the short notice as well.
Oh, very nice.
Piping Rock in Locust Valley.
Locust Valley. I'm sure that's a very nice course.
How did you become friends with Lyle Wilpon?
Down in Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah, but okay, Palm Beach, Florida.
We met at a place called The Breakers and had a mutual friend.
Okay, so you had a mutual friend.
And we just started drinking one day. I had no idea who he was, like, whatever. But a really nice guy. I'll say a sweetheart of a guy. Yep.
Sweetheart.
There you go. Boy, that's like a lifetime ago. Yeah. Anyway, what else you got?
Do you want to hear any more of this, Sage Rosenfels, or you just wanted the gist of the sitting on the floor?
I just wanted you to understand that a billionaire's son's job was to sit in an office at the stadium and play video games on the floor and bring the franchise quarterback in to talk to him.
Now I have the curiosity of what video game was he playing? Like, yeah. That does go through my mind.
Madden, right?
He's playing as the Texans?
Can you imagine? JJ, come in for a second. You have zero sacks this season. What are you talking about? I have seven sacks. No. I'm playing Madden. You suck.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Dad, we've got to trade J.J. Watt. Why, son? Because he sucks at Madden. Do you have the audio of Dom Smith? I heard...
About his ranking? I haven't seen the audio.
There's audio of Dom Smith. Maybe you can find it. I think Jerry played it this morning. In which he says he doesn't let, you know, the critics get to him. Like, he's no longer bothered when people have things to say about him.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. That's the same guy that's pissed off that his MLB The Show ranking is under 80. You do get bothered by stuff still. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
All right. I got two clips. One says, keeps positive attitude. The other says, had self-awareness. You want to pick which one to play first?
Look, before you do that, we have the aforementioned Boomer Esiason on the hotline. Booms, what's good, buddy?
Hey, Craig, he said some no fun to be around and no fun to hang out with. I figure I'd call up and explain the whole Lyle Wilpon invitation to go play golf at Bougie Piping Rock.
Whatever. Did I introduce you guys?
No, you didn't introduce us guys. And by the way, anytime you get an invite like you did the day before, that really means they don't want to play with you.
Well, I was an afterthought, or they figure there's no way he's available?
Yeah. He's no way he's available. We'll send him the invite, make him feel like he's important, but, you know, this way he won't come. So that's basically what happened. And
okay.
I remember it vividly.
Okay.
So I just wanted to straight that out. I know that you know all these people. I'm not saying that you don't.
Yeah.
You do. Didn't we
play golf with Courier at Wingfoot once?
He might have been at that CF golf tournament that we won because of me.
I had the long drive in that tournament. Don't ever forget it.
Yeah, you also put your mark in front of your ball as opposed to behind your ball.
Yes,
you don't know what you're doing on a golf course.
That's true. I got a 2-stroke penalty from Boomer on that one. That's true.
You did. That's true. Yes. 100% true. But I just want you to understand that invitation from Lyle was it did come. It's all legit. Everything's great about that. But when it comes the day before he wants to play, that basically he's telling you that he expects that you cannot move around whatever you have on your day the next day.
Yeah, but did he invite you before that or something? Or were you never invited?
No, I've never played golf with Lyle Wilpon. So he sent that to Craig. He knew not to send it to me because I would have said I'm not playing because Craig's playing.
Yes, especially on a nice course. Yeah, Boomer, a nice course is me. Because as Boomer will tell you, first four holes, I can hold my own with just about anybody. The problem is that there's 14 more holes to go.
and when you show up with cutoff jeans on, it doesn't work in a place like that.
Yeah, that was a big bugaboo. Boom and I played at a very nice course on Long Island, and Boomer knew the guys, and they're like, yeah, there's a problem with your partner. And he goes, yeah, I know, but like, what's the problem for golf? And they go, well, he's got like a frayed bottom of his shorts. That's not allowed.
Oh,
so I had to go in and get different pants. So I bought like these like really garish pink pants to play in. Fast forward a couple months, we go back to the same place to play. I made a point of ordering Jordan Spieth Under Armour golf pants. But the Under Armour golf pants are kind of like cargo pants. They have an extra pocket, I guess, for the tees or your ball, whatever. And at some courses, you're not allowed to play with cargo pants. So Boomer can tell you the rest of the story. Go ahead.
Yeah, they said, as we were walking to the tee box, Mr. Esiason, please let Mr. Carton know that he can't play in those pants. And I said, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
He can't get it right.
There you go. And then later that day, Boomer gave Matt Martin an on-course lesson, and they cheated at golf against me. Well, that's another story.
That was that day, and we didn't cheat against golf against you or anything else like that. And I know you like to, you know, tell fairy tales, and that's one of those fairy tales that you like to tell. And I'll laugh at it as we move along here, but I just... All I know is that sometimes you just dress inappropriately at all the wrong times. It's just something that you do very well.
And I did say, Lyle Wilpon's a sweetheart. Really nice guy. Yo.
Yeah, so, no, very nice guy. Yeah. And Jeff's a very nice guy, too. It's just, you know, it's unfortunately the baseball thing didn't work out as good as
I don't think the people that work for him agreed with that, but that's okay.
They got a couple billion, so they're doing okay. No one should cry for them, for sure. So, yeah, you know, 100%. Now that I'm back, and I know our schedules don't align, clearly.
Boy. Here we go.
Yeah. But I'm thinking maybe a Saturday or Sunday golf invitation this summer is probably in line.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll see how you do and see whether or not you piss me off. So we'll.
The invite's coming the day before. Just watch.
Saturday morning. Hey, want to play later? Hey, by the way, seven people backed out and Wally's not available. And you're free in an hour?
Right, exactly. You know the storyline. That's great.
I do, sadly. Well, listen,
right.
Thank
you
for cleaning that up. By the way, I'm right, though.
I've
never been there, but Piping Rock is a top course, right?
Yes, it's a very lovely place, yes.
What would I shoot at Piping Rock?
About 150.
Damn it. I got to go back to Saxon Woods community.
Every shot, like I tell you, if you count every shot, you wouldn't break 110
there. Well, all right, since we're telling stories, let me just tell a quick story. So Boom and I used to play a decent amount. I'd say 10 rounds of golf a year together, okay?
Easily.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's this one time we are at Wingfoot, and I put my ball mark down, I guess, against the rules of the course. And
Wait. You put the ball mark in front of your ball, not behind your ball.
Okay. So what happened, it was a par 3, and I would have won the hole. I think I parred it, actually, right? And Boomer goes, that's a 5. And I'm like, go F yourself. That's a 3. 1, 2, 3. He goes, it's a 2-stroke penalty. You incorrectly marked the ball. And he gave me a 5.
That is.
Okay.
Right.
Now, so this always stuck with me and always bothered me, okay? Because Boomer is, to his credit, a stickler for the rules. He plays by the rules, okay? So we were playing another time. It's me, Boomer, Coach Cower, and it may have been Matt. I forget the fourth guy. Kind of irrelevant to the story, okay? And... you know, there's, you know, you're back and forth, challenges and this and that and what's going on. And we agree what everyone's score is going into the 17th hole on this course. I still have a chance to beat the other guys, including Coach Cower. All of a sudden, as we get to the tee box on 17, the guy keeping score goes, oh, my bad, Craig. On the 6th hole, you had an 8, not a 6. You're out. You can't win. True or false, Boom?
That's true.
And
that's
then
true.
We go through, and Bill Cower makes an 80-foot putt. And he goes, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, Carton.
That's all true. That's 100% true.
And I'm like, you sons of bitches.
Right. The only other thing I'll say, we played out a due process once with your boy Doug Wells, who sent you guys food but won't send us food in the morning.
Right.
So anyway, we were playing with Doug Wells, and you and your caddy went into the red staked area.
Yep.
And your caddy put your bag down on the ground in the red staked area. That cost you two strokes.
So there's
as well.
this really tall grass they call it fescue, I think. So my ball's lost in the middle of it. You're not finding my ball. So my caddy drops a ball for me without saying anything. He then takes my golf bag, as Boomer said, and he puts it about 3 yards behind the ball so it makes all the grass sit down. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm hitting off the fairway now. So I hit a good shot. Whenever I get in the hole, Boomer goes, yeah, that's a 2-stroke penalty. So, all right, good times.
It was all good times, but I think what it was, your caddy was annoyed with you. That's why he did that to you.
Yeah, my caddy earned his money that day. They always do. As Boomer said, they always see the entire golf course when I play it.
Exactly. Have a great weekend.
Be good, bud. There you go. Boomer Esiason, Boomer and Geo every weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That whole thing just reminds me how bougie golf is. I mean, my God, you didn't mark your ball correctly, which is by what, a quarter of an inch?
Yeah, but I did it on purpose.
It does, but the rules of golf drive me nuts.
Here's why I did it on purpose.
Why?
Because I was desperate to par the hole.
Okay.
So if you put the golf mark down as you're supposed to behind the ball, mm-hmm. then you pick your ball up, clean it off, whatever. You know, some guys like to line the lettering up so you hit it straight. I put it in front. So then when I put the ball back in front, I gained like an inch and a half.
Oh, that was the difference, huh?
But he doesn't know that's why I did it.
Why else? So, you do
why else did he? Of course,
he just figured I didn't know the rules. So I'm trying to listen. It's not the only time in my life I try to gain an inch. Okay. So, and I was so mad at him because I parred the hole legit. I made the putt.
Right.
And he goes, "That's a five," and I was livid. Livid with
him. When did he call you for placing it incorrectly? After?
As soon as I made the putt, he goes, "That's a five."
Yeah, he waited for him to make the putt, be happy about the par.
The PGA should have told him right at that moment. Yeah.
Sure, we had a lot of good times on the golf course, though, I will say that. And he was very generous. He included me in a lot of really cool golf outings. One time we're playing in this, there's this amazing, more national than Boomers Foundation, foundation to fight, cystic fibrosis. And they had a wonderful tournament at Wingfoot, which, one of the greatest golf courses in America, right? So there was a group of guys that went to Iona, which is a New Rochelle college. And there's a prep school called Iona Prep.
Sure.
So these guys, I think, went to both. And being a New Rochelle high school kid, there was a natural rivalry. So they said to Boomer, if I was willing to play the 18th hole in my New Rochelle marching band uniform, which is a real shot at my humility there.
With the triangle or without the triangle?
With the triangle.
Yeah.
I had to walk up the 18th fairway, hitting the triangle, and play the entire 18th hole in a marching band outfit that they were going to acquire for me. Right? They said that they would write a $20,000 check to this National Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And lo and behold, they did it too. They showed up with a uniform. I played the 18th hole, I banged the triangle, and they wrote a check for $20,000.
Look what you
and it
did.
Was awesome.
That's
awesome.
So much fun.
At least you got good out of it, right?
And the story of when Boomer and I won the tournament. And when we won the tournament, they used to have Boomer and some other guys present some of the awards at the dinner. So I won longest drive. I have the trophy. It's sitting around here somewhere, okay? And the way I won the longest drive, and Boomer's up there going, "And now for longest drive," he goes, "No, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not introducing this award. Someone else has to do it because there's just no way. I played with them. There's no." So there was this new golf company had this technology where they could track, like to the inch, how far the ball was when you hit it. So there's one particular par five at Wingfoot where they had the whole gizmo set up. And you get up there, and the way they did it was, you get one free kind of grip it and rip it that doesn't count for your score, and then go on and hit your normal drive. So you had like a free drive solely for the long drive competition. There's a bit of a hill on the left side of the fairway that goes down a pretty good amount. So I get up there on the grip it and rip it one. I'm going to hit the ball as hard as I can. I'm going to swing the club as fast as I can. I want to see how far I can hit a ball. Thwack! That ball ducktails to the left like it's on fire, like it's Halley's Comet, all right? But because of the technology, they can measure, no matter where the ball goes,
right,
how far your ball goes. So I've got a ball I hit a million miles per hour, and it's going downhill. 342
wow.
yards.
Come on.
Wow.
Downhill.
Still.
No.
That's a
not
big drive.
Still. Downhill.
No, I'm saying.
So Boomer's up
by
there,
the downhill.
And the longest drive, which normally a longest drive competition, the rules are the ball's got to be in the fairway.
Yeah.
Or else you can't win.
Right.
This was a different rule. It was just who hit the ball the farthest.
Right.
I hit mine right downhill. 342. Bang.
What a victory.
Does
longest
it say
drive
that on the trophy?
No, it doesn't.
See, that would make it a
so
hell of a
trophy. So all the trophy says is that at one particular tournament at a U.S. Open course, I hit the longest drive out of 150
win,
guys.
Win's a win, man. That's a W.
Yes.
That's a big fat W.
Yes. Fantastic. What else you have?
You know, you had him teed up. I thought you were going to, you said, I assume now on the weekend sometime this
yeah.
summer, I thought you were going to pitch the best of three softball idea right there.
Well, that's, listen.
That was your window.
I heard they've talked about it in the mornings
they're
and they're against
it out.
As
they're,
a concept.
Yeah, but you could have put him on the spot on the air and confronted him about it.
I think they're against it. Listen, Boomer runs the softball team around here. We just have to come to an agreement that if we do play weekend games, I'm playing shortstop and leading off. What you guys do on weeknights, I don't give a damn about.
Okay. Where's your loyalty?
If we play on Saturdays or Sundays, I'm playing short and leading off. You want to play any other day of the week, you could be the shortstop, CeeLo, do whatever you want.
Where's your loyalty towards me? Where am I playing?
Huh?
Where am I playing? It's all about you. I thought we were a team.
Well,
I thought we support each other.
I have to say, these pickles are fantastic.
Yeah. You don't want to answer the question. It's all about you.
You can't play first base. Boomer's the first baseman.
I can play first
base. Why do you pitch?
Pitch?
Yeah.
In softball?
Why not?
What a waste of time.
No, you're involved in every play.
Boomer does a lot more pitching than he does playing first base.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, let him pitch. Let him play the meaningless position in softball.
Nah, he's a good pitcher, though.
And he does it because he's
fast. And he's fast. Because we're not there to play 3 hours. We're there to play and drink.
Exactly.
No. I agree.
And
raise money for charity, of course.
And I love that. Get the ball and throw it. But pitching in softball is like, what are you doing? Basically, you're just, let me just throw the ball and get it in.
Al Dukes can't pitch. Lost his nerve.
What do you mean lost his nerve?
Can't throw a strike.
Yeah, but
legit.
When Boomer pitches, is he throwing it like hard?
No,
how is it?
So he's throwing normal softball.
So then it's nothing. It's a nothing position.
It's an art. I have to say.
It's an art.
That's your mistake.
I have to give Boomer credit. There's an
to
art
what,
form
lobbing
to pitching.
It in there is an art, CeeLo?
No, I'm telling you, not everybody can do it.
There is a strategy behind it, depending on the hitter.
Plus, he's a brilliant quick pitcher.
Yes.
Oh.
Gets a bad quick pitch.
And, dude, he does. First time through the lineup, when we play some of these bigger teams, he scouts the hitters. And then before the only team he scouted
was the Hebrew home.
No.
Jews from Riverdale.
No.
Not too hard to beat. No offense to my people. Oh, good. Shlomo's up third. Oh, look. Weak ground ball to second base. Great job, Booms.
Yeah.
What's the scouting report on these guys?
Yaxel's batting cleanup.
But what's the scouting report? Low and away to Shlomo? Like, what has he got?
He'll pitch them in a spot and arrange the defense because he knows where the ball's going to be.
Gotcha. No,
also,
you know
what I've noticed with softball pitchers, too? Nobody wants to walk. So there's no...
The Hebrew team likes walking.
You throw balls, eventually they're going to chase them,
right,
too.
Right.
And then when we play Rob Manfred's team at MLB, I strike me down if I'm lying. We show up there up in...
Sleepy Hollow.
We're playing Rob Manfred's team. The first year we played him, because the next 2 years we played him, we had an understanding. He wasn't going to do what he did in year one. Although he did bring Jenny Finch, the softball starter.
They always bring ringers. That team is good.
So, dude, we're out there warming up. Beautiful state field, Sleepy Hollow, great park, great amount of people there raising money for Children's Miracle Network, which I think is Rob Manfred's go-to charity. Does a great job, right? And it's what you might expect. A bunch of middle-aged sales guys who work for MLB's executive offices, and Rob Manfred's not playing; he's managing his team. And we get there, we got this, because we are a competitive softball team that can hold our own. We had Chris Sims playing outfield, Matty Martin not great but good, obviously good athlete. Ray Rice played second base. Wally Szczerbiak played some games. Howard Johnson played third for us sometimes.
Oh,
imagine Evan catching a throw from Hojo across the diamond.
Well, I definitely have to scoop it, that's for sure.
Like, no joke. We put together a good team. Bobby Bellini, who was a varsity player at St. John's, who also tore his knee falling over the fence one game. Like, we put together a good team. No joke, right? So we're out there saying, middle-aged sales guys from MLB, we're not going to get embarrassed. We're certainly going to hold our own. Good chance we win. Okay. 5 minutes before the national anthem, a bus pulls into the Sleepy Hollow playground parking lot. The bus door opens. Now, have you ever seen the movie Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield?
Oh, yeah. Classic.
For those of you that have never seen the movie, he coaches a girls' soccer team and has his stepson play soccer because he's like Pele. Mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, Tommy Lasorda is coaching a team and meets the Rodney Dangerfield Little League bus and says, there's a rumor that you guys have been using boys dressed as girls to play. And Rodney goes, I'd never do that.
Last scene of the movie right there.
And off the bus come 12 boys to play against girls, right?
Right.
The bus pulls up and we're like, oh, cheerleaders? We have no idea. Like, who's on this bus? And why does this bus suddenly have access to the field area? The bus pulls in, gets past the police officers, past the horses out of there, onto the field, and then parks right behind the first base dugout. Well, that's an interesting place for a bus to park. Oh, I know. They probably got great barbecue, and they had to bus it in. And the door opens, and in full uniform, stirrups on the feet and everything, comes the Latin American under 21 international hardball all-stars. I think Fernando Tatis was on the team.
He may have been.
Lindor was playing short. And we're like, hey, Rob, what's this? He goes, that's the MLB team, boys. We're like, what about the middle-aged sales guys? No, they're just warming up.
The stand-ins.
I'm not kidding.
How'd it go?
They broke the scoreboard. They hit 17 out-of-the-park home runs in a six-inning softball game.
Mm.
We lost like 100 to nothing.
Wow.
Brutal.
Unbelievable.
So we, at that moment, said, hey, Manfred, from now on, we know the roster before you show up. And that was it. And we haven't lost to them since.
What is he doing extra innings? Does he put a guy on second base?
There we go. I was waiting for the attack.
He had to ruin the moment.
Attack. Yeah.
That's
and
a comment.
The
question.
Best part of the last two games, at least that I played in before I went away, and I know they've had a couple games rained out, unfortunately, because it's a great day. Guess who did the PA announcing? Sour Shoes.
He's very good.
Really? Yeah. That's Sour awesome. Shoes PA's
did
the entire
Sour Shoes
game.
Do it as himself?
No. He did does he it do as it Mike as, and as oh. John and Susan.
I know, but
it's brilliant.
Oh, well,
it's awesome.
Brilliant guy.
So hopefully that game will happen again. And we can do it on a Saturday or Sunday so that we can all participate. Because I happen to be a big draw for that game. Because it's Westchester County. And frankly, you know, nobody wants to see Al Duke sit on the bench and complain. I had to drive all the way out here. And I would leave the city at like 10:30 in the morning. So I'd get there right before game time at 6 o'clock. Al would be sleeping in his car. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I got here early. I'm like, what have you done? He goes, nothing. I'm on Twitter. He was so miserable, man. Anything else, CeeLo, or are we gone too far with you?
That's quite all right. I had a bunch of Pete Alonso for you, but we can play that for you later
on. So at 5:30, do that. And do you have the other thing ready to go?
We will be ready for the other thing.
The other thing's good to go? Secret, to go. Double secret, probationary secret thing?
Yes, sir.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
So Jeremy Lin, who was, I think, 9-year NBA career, is now in the G League. He had gone overseas for a minute.
Yep.
But he's back in the G League. He plays for the Santa Cruz Warriors. They have like a G League bubble thing going on over there. And he claims that despite being an NBA player for 9 years, despite winning an NBA championship and going through one of the most dramatic rises in the, you know, frankly, the history of the sport, that he deals with racism still. Do you know what he said what he's been referred to on the court in G League games?
By other players?
By other players.
By other G League players. They scream what at him?
They've nicknamed him coronavirus because it's viewed as the Chinese virus. Him being an Asian American player, that those are the shots they take at him.
Wow.
That's crazy,
that's
right?
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
And that's not even coming from, you know, some drunk fan in the stand. You're saying that's coming from other G League players as trash talk while they're playing?
Being, quote, being a 9-year NBA veteran doesn't protect me from being called coronavirus on the court.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
you never know, right? You never think of the perspective sometimes of the other person or what anyone's going through. Like I would think Jeremy Lin's like the happiest guy in the world. He made a boatload of money. Doesn't have to work. Give him credit. He's busting his ass to try to get back to the NBA.
Shows how much he loves basketball that here he is after having that kind of career, after making the money he made, that he's playing in the G League right now.
He must have made $50 million. Easy,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, just that poison pill contract that the Houston Rockets gave him. Just that was enough.
Let me see. How much money did Jeremy Lin make in his career?
And the Nets signed him to a couple of year deal where he was making $8, $9 million. So if I had to guess, 67. I'm going to say
you
90,
think so?
I'm going to say $80 million.
Jeremy Lin has made $65 million.
All right, I've shot it a little bit.
So you take 10% off that for your agent, let's say. You know, 15, you take the taxes, boom. So Jeremy Lin should have a good 15, 20 milli mil.
Oh, yeah.
That's without endorsements, too.
You know what, though?
He must have made $50 million endorsements.
When you're,
right?
Oh, easily. When you're 32, 33 years old, you know that once you walk away from basketball, you don't get to go back. You know, sports is one of those things. It'll expire at some point.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't say at age 40, all right, you know what? I want to play again. You can do it recreationally, but not at the pro level. So here's a guy who loves the game and is dreaming of getting back into the NBA. And he's close. He's in the G League. He's not that far off. And you're right, he did win a title with the Raptors. Didn't play a big role, but still was at least a part of that team.
He was making, at the height of Linsanity, he was making almost $20 million a year in endorsements.
In endorsements?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened after he left the Knicks? Did those endorsements go away or just grow a lot?
Linsanity went away, right?
Right, but he left. See, if Jeremy Lin stayed with the Knicks, Linsanity in a weird way would have continued. He was Elvis in New York City.
Well, except, you know, when Carmelo and, come on. Why am I
blocking? I don't know what you're trying to say. A player?
Yeah, J.R. Smith.
Oh, J.R. Smith.
Decided that they couldn't play with Jeremy Lin. The whole thing went south.
Well, no, but I think what went south is the fact that he was given that contract by the Houston Rockets that the Knicks didn't want to match.
He had Tag Heuer and Adidas were his two biggest endorsers.
If the Knicks had matched
his biggest year, he made almost $15 to $20 million.
If the Knicks had matched that contract, and he was on the 54-win Knick team the following year, no, it wouldn't have been the same Linsanity. He wouldn't have had that same role. But he had built such superstardom in this town that it wouldn't have mattered. He still would have been the guy. There still would have been a ton of Lin jerseys at Madison Square Garden, even if he had a bit role on that roster.
Listen, I've got a bunch of Jeremy Lin jerseys at the crib. Lindarella, Linsanity, Linsane. Like, we at Fanatics make a whole bunch of different ones. I forget the other ones. I just know Lindarella because I saw it again this morning. I was going to rock it today, too. Maybe next week I'll bring in my collection of Jeremy Lin jerseys.
I'd love to see it.
Let you pick one to wear.
I will never wear a Jeremy Lin jersey.
Here is,
I don't know. What do I do here?
Let's go to Tony. Picked the wrong one. Anyway, Tony, good afternoon. How you doing?
How are you guys? Nothing tops G League trash talk. You guys talking about Houston and its management group, the forgiveness factor is so high down here to the fact that we have a team. It makes it easy for them to run almost without criticism from the media.
When does that go away? I mean, you've had the Houston Texans for two decades now. At what point does that go away?
Well, I couldn't tell you guys because I was here before. I watched the last years of the Oilers. I was here when we didn't have a team, and then I watched them come back. And I literally, on year two, you'd have people call up sports radio and go, "I bleed Texan blue."
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a team for 16 games, and it never seems to fade. And the fans are just, football is such a pillar.
Yeah, but I think Houston's a dump personally, but isn't that a good thing that the fan base, it's like Knicks fans. You know, we might bitch and moan about them, but we show up every game.
That's right. There's a parallel between the Garden, which Dolan has tried to burn down, and the Texans trade DeAndre Hopkins.
I disagree with that assessment of Dolan, but he didn't try to burn the Garden down. But I give the fans credit. You know, you did have a good playoff run under Bill O'Brien, and then everything went to pot when he became the GM. But if the fans show up when the team sucks, more power to those fans.
There's nothing wrong with fans showing up. I guess I took his first part of his comment that they forgive everything ownership does because they're so grateful there's a team in Houston.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. One thing about the Knicks, the Knicks fans show up, but Knicks fans are critical. They're critical of their ownership. They're critical of their front offices. They're critical because they demand winning. They're not just happy to be here. Now, I don't know what the mood is like in Houston. The Texans have been a team since 2002. I would think they're over the euphoria of getting their football team back.
Well, now that it was Bob McNair originally.
Right.
Now that he's not around, maybe that'll start to change.
Especially with how that franchise has been burned down the last couple of years.
Like, maybe there was so much respect for the guy that brought the franchise here.
Fine.
That guy walks on water, but he's no longer here. Now we're going to be critical.
And look, in fairness, Bob McNair passed away 3 years ago. Look what's happened to the Houston Texans since.
Yeah, they made a playoff once.
Right, but Bill O'Brien was given all the power in the world. As a head coach is one thing, as GM is another. They gave away draft picks for Laramie Tunsil. They then made the decision on DeAndre Hopkins. They've messed up the new general manager, new head coach search. Now Deshaun Watson's gone, wants out. So yeah. Look what's happened in just the last 2.5 years.
And they let J.J. Watt. If you, I don't know if you said that. I may have missed that one.
The reason I don't include that is because it's probably time for the end of J.J. Watt. If they're going to go into a rebuild mode, then, yeah, it should be over for him. Yeah. It's everything that's led to that.
Yeah, supposedly J.J. Watt's getting some offers of like 15 milli per.
Like, really? He had a good year this year. He actually
15
played.
Milli on the milli? No way, sir. That dude ain't worth 15 milli a year.
On a one-year deal?
Not for me, ain't. Of course, my team's got other problems.
Well, not for the Jets or the Giants, but...
Where do you think he's going right now?
Green one Bay team Packers. Go.
Green Bay, look at you. Didn't even stutter on that.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think mitochondria means? It's the powerhouse of the cell, of course. Any third grader knows that.
I think it was a very, like, I'm going home and I'm going to the powerhouse of the NFL, Green Bay Packers.
No, I thought Pittsburgh because his brothers are there.
That's not his home, though.
Oh, good. I'm coming home. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back to the state of Wisconsin. J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's like a BMT sub from Subway there. We want to welcome J.J. Watt. Yeah, J.J. Watt's going to be like the John Elway of Papa John's in the state of Wisconsin.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I now have the rights to every Subway in the state.
Damn right.
There you go. Do you have me tell you the Jerry Jones story about Papa John's?
No, I don't think so.
So Jerry Jones was approached by the original Papa John, the guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. He wanted Papa John's to be in the stadium. And he wanted a deal where they were the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys. And Jerry Jones didn't have much interest in it one way or the other. And he goes, look, I'll give you the territorial rights to the entire state of Texas for Papa John's if you'll agree to do a deal with me that makes Papa John's the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys. So they do some kind of deal. Jerry Jones does not take a nickel out of his pocket for the rights to Papa John's in the state of Texas. What do you think Jerry Jones makes every year just by having the rights to Papa John's in the state of Texas? I'm coming home.
How much?
Starts with a 3. How many zeros come after it?
I'm afraid to know.
$30 million. Every single year,
wow.
He makes $30 million. On being the owner
though that's chump
of
change.
Papa John's.
For Jerry, what does that really mean?
It didn't cost him a nickel, though.
Wow.
Like, it's like he made an investment, and now he's seeing the fruits of that investment. He allowed Papa John's to do a deal with the Cowboys, for which they also paid for.
Right.
And in return, he has the rights to all the franchises in the state of Texas. $30 million a
Amazing.
Year clean.
Especially for
For
such,
nothing.
Especially for such lousy pizza.
How about that? And it reminds me, Boomer and I were once offered Northern Jersey Mike's.
All right.
Damn it, we should have said yes.
Yeah, but
that would have cost us money,
right
though. We would have, we had to buy franchise rights and all that stuff. Yeah. $30 million a year.
Not bad.
It's not bad, right? Yeah. For nothing. He doesn't even know it exists. Yeah, he just gets a royalty because he has the rights to it.
It's a good deal.
That
for
was
Jerry.
The deal he made. Great, right?
What horrible pizza. Now, maybe I'm a snob because we live in New York and we eat real pizza, but I tried Papa John's once.
Well, you know the deal about Papa John's pizza, don't you?
What?
It's about one thing and one thing only.
What's that?
It's not about the pizza.
What's it about?
It's about the pepperoncino pepper.
Oh, really?
Every pizza comes with a fresh pepperoncino pepper. That's Papa John's.
And does that make it special?
Yeah.
Does that make it good? Does that make it worthy of getting as
well,
opposed
listen,
to like real
we're New
pizza?
Yorkers, so we're not going to order
well,
Papa John's.
And look, I acknowledge that.
But if you live
that.
In Cleveland, Ohio, you get Papa John's or Domino's.
Bro, I acknowledge that. And that's the first thing I said. I know I'm a New Yorker, but.
You think if you go to Houston, Texas, you're not getting Papa John's or Domino's?
No, but I'll give you this.
You're not getting original Ray's.
But I'll give you this. Pizza Hut, okay?
Yeah.
While I will still prefer my New York style pizza,
don't say it.
What? It's not terrible.
Don't say it.
Not terrible.
Don't say it.
Not terrible.
Go to Vermont. Have as much Pizza Hut as you want.
Dude, I don't choose it over New York pizza. It's better than Papa John's. It's better than Domino's. It's
respectable pizza. Is it New York pizza? No.
Don't say that.
Is it any place down the street? No.
Begging you.
We are king here in New York.
You've had Pizza Hut pizza recently.
Of course. No, not recently.
Yeah.
When I lived in Maryland, I was so disgusted by their local pizza. I had to make do, bro. I had to figure it out. And I became a Pizza Hut guy. I went Pizza Hut. But if you ask me in all seriousness, when was the last time you had Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Dude, it may have been a decade. So, no. I completely deny your allegation, sir.
Yeah.
But in the past, when I did not live in the greatest city in the world, I had a little bit of Pizza Hut.
Oh, Baltimore's got some decent pizza places.
No, it does.
There's Joe Benny's, no. Which is a good place.
Nope.
There's a square pizza place, Joe Squared, which is pretty good.
Nope.
There's a new chain called Home Slice.
Haven't
not
tried
bad.
It, but probably not good, no.
So, and no. Then there's a place called, what the hell is it called? I think it's called Iggy's, which is a Baltimore institution.
Yeah. No, Baltimore no. Pizza is not good. DC pizza is not
pizza,
good.
Huh?
No, that's not true.
Sorry.
I'm telling you, other cities' pizza outside. Look, Chicago's a different whole thing. I got to try the whole Detroit pizza thing. But no, you are better off. I hate to tell you this. You
Sorry.
Are better off going to a place like that.
Please don't do that.
I don't have to anymore because I live in the greatest city in the world.
Well, you used to.
I live here, essentially. Come
when's
on.
When's the last time you went to a pizza place in New York City and got a slice? Just a slice?
About 2 months ago when I drove
oh, you
to
did?
Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay.
Did
you go to L&B's?
No, it wasn't L&B's.
You didn't go to L&B's? You were in Brooklyn and didn't go to L&B's?
I didn't go to L&B's that day.
My own. Here's Eric in Rivervale, New Jersey on the fan. Eric, what's up with you?
Craigie, Evan, happy Friday, boys. How
and
are
to you, sir.
Happy Friday.
So I got such a kick out of the and a boomer calling in before in your golf stories, Craigie.
Yeah.
It reminded me of what is one of, certainly, I think, the Mount Rushmore golf movies, which is Tin Cup.
One of the greats right? of all time, no doubt about it.
Oh my God! And it reminded me of the 7-iron contest that they had, right? So you win the long drive contest by not having to put it in the fairway, just hitting it far, right? So you know Don Johnson gets out there and takes Kevin Costner's car by hitting the 7-iron down the that dust bowl, right?
Yep.
And I just figured you got to set something up like that with Boomer. Like the next time he gets you out of the golf course after you know all the COVID stuff, he's like, he is the Don Johnson character, right? So. You got to set something up like that with him where you can, I don't know.
I like it. I've tried a lot of tricks on him on the golf course. I've tried the exploding ball. I've tried that with him. I've tried the old, hey, look in the forest. I hit off the tee on a par 3, and I tell him I think my ball went in the cup, and I have a ball that's already in the cup. I've tried it all. You're right. I need some more new golf course material for the booms. If we get to play golf again now this summer.
Well, particularly if he's the one stickler to the rules and he's,
he is.
You with two-stroke penalties for ball marks.
You know what I even did to him? The only time I ever really pissed him off on the golf course, we were playing a really nice private club that we'd been invited to play, okay? And by the sixth or seventh hole, my attention span is shot, so now I got to have some fun. So we're playing with two guys who are members of this club, and there's a big lake in the middle of this golf course, all right? So the guy that I'm playing with decides we should go fishing while we're in the middle of this round of golf because Boomer's on the green, the other guy's on the green, and they're brothers. And me and the other brother, God knows where our ball is. So we go up. He has two fishing rods in his golf bag. So we start fishing. Boomer's pissed about it, right? So when we finally get up to the green and, we all give our scores, 8, 8, 3, 4, whatever it is, I unlock the strap that's holding Boomer's bag on his golf cart so that when he hits the gas and he drives, his golf bag's going to fall off the back of the cart.
Right.
But I think this is going to be the funniest thing ever.
No, I'm with you. I think it'd be funny.
So I do the thing. He hits the pedal, the golf bag falls off, and starts rolling to the lake.
Oh. You didn't envision that part.
No, I didn't.
So was he a little pissed?
He was not happy. I can't take you anywhere. This is disrespectful. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm like, Boomer.
You had better intent than it rolling into a lake.
Well, it didn't go into the lake, but it was rolling towards the lake.
Did he get out and sprint to make sure it didn't go in the lake?
No, no. He pulled one of these. You better stop it.
And what'd you do?
I stopped it.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, because that would have been messed up. Yo, entire set of golf clubs into the water and down. That would have been bad.
I noticed something else.
Yeah.
Another Kevin Costner movie you love.
Hmm. Tin Cup. Great movie.
I'm not arguing.
And what's
just
messed
noticing
up?
Yeah, Kevin Costner
right.
movie.
You're
Craig
right.
likes it.
You're
That's
right.
all I'm saying.
And I don't like Rene Russo either.
Why don't you like Rene Russo?
I don't know. I don't like her. I don't like her because I didn't like her in Lethal Weapon.
So you held that against her.
And then she did the movie with the gorilla. I didn't like that one either. She like talks to gorillas or something.
Mighty Joe Young, is that, she in that
something
one?
Like that? Yeah,
that I caused you to go anti Rene Russo.
Yeah, I don't like Rene Russo either.
Wow,
she was in Ransom, which is a movie you referenced. You liked too.
I did Ransom because she was. She's not a big role in Ransom. She's just like the upset wife that's crying a lot. Yeah, her kid did get kidnapped. I can't blame her.
You know what I think of her? I think of Rene Russo from Major League. She was the love interest.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like her in that either.
Why?
I don't know.
She's Thor's mom in the Marvel movies too.
I just don't like Rene Russo.
Oh, no, the Thomas Crown right. Affair?
No. Thomas Crown
that's
Affair.
That's a good one.
I just don't like Rene Russo. Maybe she's so good at acting that I don't like the character she plays.
Get Shorty, John Travolta, Gene Hackman.
I don't like Rene Russo.
And you don't like Kevin Costner.
And I don't like Kevin Costner.
Somehow you like Tin Cup.
I did a lot.
I find that fascinating.
I also think everybody should go watch the movie I talked about when he's the Coast Guard rescue swimmer, The Guardian.
The Guardian.
Awesome movie. For Love of the Game was also a good movie.
Mm.
Bull Durham, of course, good movie. I don't love him in that, but okay, good movie. Good movie. Because there's no way he's banging Annie Savoy. I just don't buy that.
Hold on.
I just don't buy it.
Hold on a second.
Didn't work for me.
Every Adam Sandler movie
features
him hooking up with somebody.
I love it.
That realistically he wouldn't.
I disagree.
So why do you love that?
I disagree with
and
that.
And find the Costner thing unrealistic.
Here's why. First off, in what movie did he score this unbelievably sexy, so hot, gorgeous woman that's beyond the scope of reason?
His first girlfriend in Big Daddy.
His first girlfriend in Big Daddy.
The one that dumped him.
The one that winds up banging the 90-year-old?
Yeah.
And works at Hooters?
That's Buffy. That's
She's
Christy
not like,
Swanson.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's not in Adam Sandler's league.
Sure it is.
Really?
She's like the good-looking girl in high school who didn't age all that great.
You don't think that inconsistently in Sandler movies he's with women that are more attractive than he is?
In Grown Ups, he's married to Selma Hayek.
Yeah, that's the only one I'll give you.
That's a good one.
There you go.
That's a tough one.
That's the only one I'll give you. That one I'll give you.
And did that bother you?
Not at all. Because I think Selma Hayek's overrated. Sorry.
That's how you rationalize it.
Yeah, that's how I rationalize it.
That's how you get out of it.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Like, you know, the teacher in Billy Madison's cute.
Yeah, well, that's
Veronica Vaughn.
She's not like a Victoria's Secret model.
I don't know, man.
He's not like Ambrosia.
I think you're shortchanging all of it now.
They're very cute.
He was with Brooklyn Decker in one of the movies.
Yeah,
he was with Brooklyn for a short time. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Wasn't the main love interest.
See, Matt, just shut up.
Jennifer Aniston's the real love interest in that movie.
How do you end this to Brooklyn Decker? Go.
God damn it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, instead, you're trying to rationalize
I'm still trying to figure out why Brooklyn Decker's with Andy Roddick. So bothers me. She is so hot in that movie, too. I forget the name of the movie. He winds up with Jennifer Aniston, who's his best friend in the movie.
Right.
But she is so hot in that movie,
so
Brooklyn Decker.
Just go with it.
Ugh.
So you admit. So now you've caved.
In that one particular movie,
no,
I agree.
We're up to two now.
What's
because
the other one?
The one you just gave me with Selma Hayek. Oh, you didn't like Selma
Hayek. Yeah, I like
Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
Gotcha, you're
right. Just because she has an accent, she's hotter. That's not for me. Not just me, though. I appreciate she's an attractive woman. Of course. Look at me. I'm a mess. Who am I to judge what you look like?
20 years ago, you looked good.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It was 20 years ago, too. That's the last time I looked presentable in a picture.
I wasn't exaggerating.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else. Yeah, that's about it, really.
A lot of Drew Barrymore, obviously.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore's not hot.
No.
I didn't include Drew Barrymore.
No.
Right.
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder.
And Mr. Deebs.
Not hot.
Not hot.
No, I disagree with you about Veronica Vaughn.
Winona Ryder in like 1987.
Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I think you're wrong initially about Billy Madison.
Veronica, what's the name again?
Vaughn. That's her character, yeah.
She's like America Next Door cute. She's not, oh my God, that type of thing. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Like Brooklyn Decker in Just Go With It is, oh my God, what? Yes, I agree. That I can't deny. I'll give you that.
All right, fine. Do you know who she's married to?
Brooklyn Decker? I said Andy Roddick.
No. The Veronica Vaughn person.
In real life?
Yeah.
No. Should I know that?
I think, well, her last name is now Sampras, so I assume Pete Sampras.
Because he's the only guy named Sampras?
I mean, can you name anyone else named Pete Sampras? Or name Sampras?
I mean, I imagine there's
he's
probably
the Sampras
some other Sampras's out there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He might be
You're
one
right.
of only a handful of Pete Sampras's.
I need to find out if she is married to him, because I don't really know. I just know that her name now is Sampras.
I'm not even sure what the actress's name is.
Bridget Wilson. Yeah.
She's now Bridget Sampras?
Yes, she married Pete Sampras.
Well, there
right.
you go.
We're forgetting right. a big one, too. Kate Beckinsale and Click.
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
See, you get now just you just have it. To admit this. Most Adam Sandler movies feature him. Nothing wrong with it. Not complaining. Just kind of countering your whole point that you initially made. He is usually with women that are way too attractive for him.
I wouldn't say usually, but there are certain some.
Dude, we just named how many
done
movies
50
now?
50 movies.
Okay, we're up to 4 or 5. We're at 10%.
All right.
Yeah.
So 10% of his movies, he's with a hot girl. All right. I mean, if I was him, I would make that 80%.
I'm not, dude, I'm not disagreeing with him, but you're the one that was getting on, what's his name? On Kevin Costner.
Yeah. I do like more of his movies than I let on. That's for sure true.
Yeah, that's
I
what
have
I've
to
noticed.
Admit that.
Yes.
For some reason, he just seems douchey to me. Maybe it's the whole Cal Ripken
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think it's the Ripken thing.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!